Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello, and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, and I am your host, John Johnson. I have titled this particular podcast, The Borrowers, and it happens to be relating to those things, you know, people that want to borrow stuff from you, and, you know, how do you handle that? I know how I've handled that in the past. I handled it poorly. I didn't know how to say no, and maybe I should have entitled this, How to Say No, but I'm going to give you a few scenarios in your own experience. Those people who are very assertive, who have the courage to ask for things and expect them, you know, they have a lot of confidence, and I admire that. I've social situations in which you could dare to ask people for certain things, I find that remarkable, because I've never been comfortable asking for anything, really. It has always been my thing that I force myself to work to get my own, because asking even for help has been a challenge for me. That just, part of that is my independence, that I don't want to feel like I have to depend on someone else, and that's something that I'm going to work on forever. But it's the part about telling people that want to borrow things and saying no to them. See, I was raised with this mindset, and, you know, God bless my mom, I was raised with the mindset of helping, because that's something that I saw that was done, and it was done successfully by people who were grown-ups. So I kind of wanted to take on that role of being a helping person, because I could see how happy it made people, and that seemed like that was the thing to do. You know, that's part of my spiritual values. But it's like, when to cut that off, when to say, no, you need to go get your own. That was always that blurry line. That was that thing that was hard to manage, because when you hear somebody that has a need and you seem to be able to fulfill that void for them, sometimes you just find it hard to say no. And I've been in that situation many times. The difficulty is sometimes those voids being, you know, could be altruistic and extend myself, and it may be an inconvenience for me to do it. Sometimes I feel that is part of my giving to being a human being. You know, there are definitely people that have given to me and anonymously, and there have been things that have happened to my benefit. I try to like to think that I'm paying it forward. Again, that's part of my upbringing, my way of being in the world. So saying no, it seems like I might be playing with my fate when I do that. But in recognizing that there are people you have to say no to, I had recently had an acquaintance, and I said, all they were an acquaintance. They weren't a relative or wasn't a date or anything like that. It was an acquaintance, came and asked for money. And I was a little shocked at that, because I never had the occasion to loan this person money before, and why they felt comfortable enough to come ask me. Again, that was their assertive side, feeling just that they would come and ask. Now, I clearly said no. And I didn't ask what the reason was, because I didn't want to get into that thing of having them justify it and then having me reject them on that basis. No, I simply said no, clear out. And understand my thinking behind that. It's to not put that person in a position of feeling like they're being judged, and not putting myself in the position of being judged. Because if you happen to just go through the motions of listening to someone's explanation as to why they want to borrow something from you, and then you reject that, you come off as being preachy and being a judge. And that really isn't my job. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish here. All I'm trying to accomplish is we allow each of ourselves to leave as we came. I'm whole, they're whole. I don't embarrass them, they're not embarrassed. And you know, you have, you know, your lives beyond that one moment. And for that, it is just a moment in time. And we're going to move past that. What I feel is important for me is to be able to say no, not be judged for saying no, and allowing them their dignity, and we move on. But here's the thing that happens to a lot of us. We get in those situations and we start asking, okay, what do you need it for? Blah, 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 blah. Now, if this is your children, that's a different conversation. You're the parent. You obviously want to know what kids need from you and why, because you're raising them. But I'm talking about an adult person who came to me for this. So back to my point of when I'm put in the position of listening to their story and then I reject, then I create a situation in which it appears that I'm being preachy and that I'm judging their life and their character. And I don't want to be in that position. And I can simply reject that situation by saying no, period. Not asking for stories or explanations. And sometimes these things become, they may be heart-wrenching. It may be a story that would get to you. And you might say, well, maybe you would change your mind if you heard the story. Now, that's very valid. In my experience, it really, what's the vibe that I'm getting when this thing starts? And I think that's a precursor to how I'm going to react to this. I think in general, I've had to learn to say no, because that's not my first instinct. Saying no now has more to do with, as this thing sort of sets itself up, you kind of get an idea. And I think if we all use our adult vibe and see, you know, is this something about, does somebody just want to borrow money, or is there some sort of crisis going on? And, you know, here's a thing that a friend of mine said to me. He says, your failure to plan is not my emergency. And that's a matter of fact. We all have lives. We all have responsibilities. And in this particular case, I happen to know something about the situation that I haven't shared yet. And it's that this person chose to not work when they could have worked. And in my estimation, they could have made up the difference of the amount of money that they wanted to borrow had they worked. You see, this wasn't a situation that was beyond their control. This was something that was totally within their realm of control. So my feeling about saying no to that situation really was saying no and not judging per se, because I have to honestly share, I did make a choice to realize that they hadn't worked when they could have. And I'm saying no based on my thing of not loaning people, because I don't want to put somebody else in the position, or better yet, I don't want to put myself in the position of having to ask for it. Because here's the thing about loaning money, especially money. If you just treat it like you're giving a gift that you may not get it back, at least mentally you may be in a much, much better place. Now, when it's other things, and I'm going to get off money for a second, but let's say it's your car, that could be a risk. Think about it. How many people really know the nuances of their car insurance? Some car insurance will say that, you know, if you've loaned the car to someone, they're a covered driver. And that's all it stipulates, that you have to have given them permission. Some car insurance companies do not allow that, and that it only allows you to loan, the vehicle can only be driven by people that are actually on the policy. So if something happens, and I know this is hypothetical, but it's a real scenario in today's world, because we're not the only car on the road. But in the fact, if something happens, your vehicle's not covered, and that can be a huge expense, because I certainly don't plan for those kinds of expenses, and nor have I expected to. So I'm very mindful of those kinds of things. And interestingly enough, it's a lot easier for me to feel comfortable about saying no to somebody borrowing my car than actually saying no about borrowing money. But I'm getting there. And another thing, and this is for people that own a lot of stuff. I got tools. I fix things all the time. So I have screwdrivers and drills and extension cords and things like that. I find that to you know, my tools are pretty personal to me. So I buy good stuff because I tend to do the kind of jobs and I need quality tools. I've loaned my lawnmower to the neighbor a time or two, and that's not a big deal. Okay. So I'm not just a tightwad. So I do loan things, but I'm very specific about what's going on and you know, that sort of thing. Plus, you know, I don't want my neighbor's lawn looking like, you know, like I should go over there and cut it because he's without a lawnmower, right? Okay, so I'm trying to be nice here. Next up, I'm going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about emotional baggage. How much of your friend's stuff should you take on? And I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson. And before the break, I mentioned how much of your friend's emotional baggage should you take on? And this could be a dicey one. You know, friendship being what it is, friendship is a relationship in which you basically have some commonality, and which I want to separate. I want to make the distinction here. It's different from a primary relationship in which you are emotionally bonded. You both have you know, you're living together, you're married, you know, there is that interdependence upon each other. You know, friendships have a different sort of quality. And whereas there is an emotional bond, which is very important, your life doesn't necessarily tend to depend on that person. But when these friendships start to bleed over and become almost like a primary relationship, so to speak, you know, because of the dependence, you know, then you begin to get into those gray areas about, okay, how much of this stuff should I be taking on? Because you have your own problems. And when sometimes it may seem fun to be a problem solver for someone else, because there's that feeling of helping. And I've talked about how important that is for all of us to feel like we're helpers in our community. But when you begin to cross that line and having to giving some real serious life's advice to people, and those situations can be very uncomfortable. There's what you know about the situation, and there's what you don't know. And given that these things take a lot of time, therapists deal with this sort of thing all the time. Their time is being paid for. So they have the time, they have the skills to sort of, you know, pick at things below the surface. And being a friend, obviously you have you kind of have a vested interest. You don't want to see your friend sort of, you know, have this emotional meltdown, and, or, you know, oftentimes right there in front of you because of the crisis. And it's one thing to be there for a friend in crisis. I think that's a beautiful thing about friendship, and I wouldn't ever want something like that to go away. But when you're constantly in the position of bailing someone out, I mean, you got to begin to question their judgment, their skill at making better decisions for themselves. And that is not always something you can teach someone else. And some people are just hardwired to whine and want to beg for somebody else to solve their problems. And if that is a scenario that seems familiar, then definitely take a step back. If you're the person that is always being, your shoulder is always being lending your shoulder. Let me say this correctly. If you're the person that's continually lending your shoulder to be cried on, obviously there's some benefit to you. You feel like you're important, but you got to wonder if you're there giving advice to someone, and are they taking it? I learned something a long time ago that I was a friend many years ago who was always calling me about a boyfriend that she had. And she was always crying about how the guy was, you know, this, that, and the other. And I thought I was giving her good advice. I thought I was being supportive. I mean, I was encouraging her to, you know, talk to him and get an understanding of what was happening. And I thought that was good advice, but apparently it wasn't what she was doing. Apparently it didn't work. And I saw that eventually after doing this a while, I saw that the situation, like I said, wasn't working out, and because it wasn't changing, it wasn't getting any better. And after having listened to her cry and whine about the situation for many, 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 many hours, I started to begin to think, I says, I might feel like mine is time wasted. And the only thing I could do about that is I was polite. I just said, you know, I'm not very effective here. I'm not helping you solve the problem. You need to talk to somebody else who's better at it. I mean, that was a very diplomatic way of me getting myself out of that situation. So I obviously began to examine me, what's going on with me that I'm lending myself to these situations. So I learned to start asking better questions. I know when I'm helping someone and I know when I'm not. And for the most part, in situations like that, I was not helping her to solve her problem. I was merely someone that she was just venting to. And that's okay if you understand that that's what's happening. But if you think that you're giving advice to someone and they're simply just venting and they're just going to go right back into that situation, realize that you're ineffective and save your time. Spend your time doing something elsewhere. So I told that story because I think that's something that a lot of us go through, thinking that we are right on the brink of helping somebody solve a problem in their life. And that feels good to help somebody, because I've been in those situations where somebody has helped me have an epiphany that flashes, oh, geez, that's what I've been missing. That piece of message, that piece of information that gives me understanding about that situation, and I'm better for it. And I can clearly remember those situations happening in life. And I like to have other people experience that, not because of me, but when they're on just about right at the edge of a breakthrough, that's wonderful. But oftentimes it doesn't happen because they're not really looking to have a breakthrough. They're just venting. And understand the difference. Venting is, in and of itself, it's something that we human beings do. It's something we need to be able to do. It's something that friends are wonderful for having around, because we can sort of share that. Sometimes we might be commiserating, but the venting thing is important. But when it comes to, you know, giving advice and then thinking that somebody is taking that when they really aren't, I mean, how involved do you really need to be in that? Just a thought. I want you to have some realization on that one. You know, there are things that, this is sort of a sidebar here. I'm going to mention this because it has to do with the nice guy sort of thing. And I was talking to a friend who has a job that's fairly important to them. And one of the things that they were experiencing was feeling being used. Now, the person doesn't have a permanent position. So, you know, most of us are looking to try to get into a job where we can have a career or can depend on the income. And when you're sort of on that bubble, you know that you want to be seen as somebody who's valuable enough that you finally get that the position where they keep you. So the conversation comes up is, you know, how much do you let them use you before you kind of say no? And we all have our responsibilities in life, and the responsibility is to yourself and your family. And the job itself may, you know, factor into that in a huge way. You know, if you're lots of bills to pay, then you tend to do whatever you need to do to get the job. But when you're dealing with a supervisor who can be a bit of a jerk and a narcissist at that, it's you almost feel victimized time and time again. And it's how do you navigate some of that kind of stuff? Because sometimes there's politics involved, and the politics of favoritism is maybe somebody else will get the extra hours to work as opposed to yourself. And, you know, it becomes one of these things where you have to educate yourself as to what the law, what the labor laws are. If there happens to be a union in the shop, or as it would be the case, maybe a shop steward, somebody that you can get some advice from, that would be a good resource. If it happens to be that there is a Department of Labor in your area, you need to ask questions about that, because sometimes the politics of asking these sorts of questions in the office might be detrimental to your future, and you are not trying to jeopardize that. But it just becomes one of those things where if you feel victimized, that emotionally that can just really pull you through a knothole backwards. That hurts. And it's how do you keep your wits about that? How do you keep your head in the game so that you can continue to work and take care of your livelihood? I say you begin, you have to educate yourself as to what's legal and what isn't legal. And oftentimes we find people in positions of power that really don't know the law. They skirt a lot of rational, reasonable thinking just to suit whatever their needs are. And if I can say this, I want to empower you again to educate yourself as to what's legal and what isn't. I've given you a resource. There's so many things that you can look up on the internet as far as laws, labor laws, as far how many hours to work, what constitutes overtime in your area, whether it's 8 hours a day or whether it's over 40 hours a week. And then there's overtime in various areas. There's certain things that apply. And the office political culture can be very difficult one to navigate because it's not always about the work. There is the emotional part about dealing with people who are terrible at planning, who, I mentioned the favoritism, but when they're terrible at their people skills, that tends to be the one thing that ruins an environment faster than anything else. Because they may not, meaning the supervisor, may not necessarily do anything illegal in terms of the law, in terms of skirting, not paying you enough. But the way in which you get approached, the way in which you are spoken to, can oftentimes be very demeaning and very demoralizing. And while there's certainly nothing illegal necessarily about that, if it's sexual harassment, then that becomes a legal issue. And I'm not talking about that in particular. But again, it's about the people skill that some of these people have. How do you endure that? And you have to find it in yourself that you find value in what you're doing and make that part of your cause. Sometimes you have to find a way in which to dismiss some of the rude and insensitivity that these people in power have, because it's oftentimes with them, there's an inferiority complex that's going on, and they lack people skills because they don't have very good mentors. They have personal problems of their own that tend to bleed through. They can have problems with their significant other, and they take it out on people at work. And ultimately, I think if left long enough, these people trip themselves up and wind up doing damage. And as most companies will find it, that if this person is enough of a liability, then they will separate themselves from that person. Because it becomes, like I said, a liability. If said person happens to be the owner of the company, well, you have a different set of circumstances to deal with. You can either find a way to make peace with them or quit. Not a whole lot of options there that I have for you. But the situation that I was talking about, or that's in my mind with relation to this person I was talking about, happens to do that they're very good worker. I happen to know that. Very, very honorable person, very much a hard worker. They love their family. And they have a supervisor who is pretty much a tyrant. And they tend to lead based on their emotion. And when you have a person like that, you just tend to have to find your way to steer around them, stay away from them, minimize your contact. And for that, if you have that, you're probably well insulated. And I tend to look at it, just do the job that you're there, that you're paid to do, because there's enough trouble going on and enough busyness going on in the office that person will probably be distracted, because part of the problem is they're probably creating enough situations themselves that they have to deal with that you can step away from and just watch them spiral and watch them stress. And just celebrate the fact when they're not there. This is, the tension is gone from here. I would certainly not encourage you to do anything that starts trouble, because then you're not creating the harmony in the environment. But if they're doing something that's illegal, that they shouldn't be doing, then, you can make note of that, make a log and have that present. And you might find that that there might be grounds for removal of that person. So it's just an idea. the last but not least is you might have a conversation with that supervisor to see if you can make peace with them. I found trying to bury the hatchet is a good approach. It sort of takes me off the radar for being an enemy when you show that you're interested in just having a good working relationship. And sometimes that works for you. I have found that that has worked for me on occasion. It didn't necessarily stop the person from being a tyrant. I mean, they still had the poor people skills, but it, interestingly enough, it sort of took me off the being a target, so to speak. And then they had to worry about all the other individuals in the office. So that actually made me feel a little bit better. I mean, it didn't necessarily, in my case, stop me from having to deal with some of their poor decisions, because again, that's the individual. You can't necessarily control that. But if you can kind of put yourself in the information hub, sometimes you might be able to redirect things that might otherwise turn out poorly. So that's a strategy. And one last thing. Remember who you love and be sure and tell them. When was the last time you told somebody you love that you love them? Think about it. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Be affectionate. Show them something. Take that opportunity to be exceptional and give that with which only you can give, which is your love and your affection. I'm John Johnson. This is Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Join me again next time. And until then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.